Hello and welcome to The Green Machine, a very special edition of The Green Machine. Wasn't really planned, but here we are. I'm Dave, your host, joined as always by Martin and Nick. Well, it's been more than 36 hours after Malta. Have we all recovered, lads? I got back on possibly the worst flight I've ever had in my entire life, back to Luton Airport. I'll actually share this with you. We hopped over the Alps. It was horrible. Got drenched on the plane.
Is that a euphemism for something? Is that a
no?
Hopped over the Alps?
No, sadly not. Basically,
are you sure?
Well, I hopped over something, but it wasn't the Alps. But getting on the plane, absolutely pissing rain, literally out of nowhere. It was like Malta sort of laughing at us one last time. Got on the plane, bounced over the Alps, got out, ended up paying twice for a ticket on Trainline.com. Bastards. Didn't have to, but anyway, and got in. But I'm fully refreshed, lads. I feel like I've let out a bit of steam over the last few hours.
Say that's not all you've let out.
Maybe a bit of vapor with the steam. But anyway, enough about my bodily fluids. Chaps, we're going to talk Ireland, we're going to talk World Cup, and we're going to talk Stephen Kenny, which is also Ireland, I suppose. First of all, actually, the World Cup. I haven't watched it. I can't be arsed with it. But Martin, you have a proper horn, as always, for Roy Keane, and you've been sharing stuff in the group there about him getting his arse handed to him by Graeme Souness.
I knew you'd see it that way. No, it's a funny one. I'm obviously watching it in London, and the coverage today is the Argentina-Saudi Arabia game with the delectable Laura Woods. Fantastic presenter.
It's a big word for you, Martin.
It is, yeah. She's got Joe Cole, Roy Keane, and Souness in today, doing the punditry, which Roy made a big point of that he's covering the game as a pundit. He's asked for his opinion, but yeah, the debate was basically on the penalty. But before that, they did actually ask quite interestingly about the World Cup, the kind of uproar about where it's being held, and I don't really want us to go into that. We're too.
Have they got to you as well, have they?
Yeah, no, they're not getting to me. No. Yeah, I saw George Hamilton, Jesus, yeah. He was obviously, he was chatting when he should have been listening. So they were chatting about that, and it was interesting, actually, as soon as kind of aligned himself with Ireland, really, a lovely little kind of sound burst, I suppose, that he said, we can't forget that the British have committed some, got things wrong in the past history and stuff, including in Roy's home, is what he said. So I was thinking, well, hey, that's a great little comment there. Thanks for the soundbite.
Is it though?
But he did say that. I thought it was quite funny. But then afterwards, then he did say about the halftime stuff was more interesting because obviously the debate about the penalty and Roy and him were clearly clashing. It's gone viral already. And Roy's saying I'm being asked to give my opinion and kept interrupting and soon as told him to kind of shut up basically. But what cracks me up is Roy with the eyes. It's just, he looks the shaking of the head and stuff. It is a bit pantomime at times, but it was very good actually, quite entertaining. And, it was a good game. It seems to be a good game. It's Saudi Arabia. I mean, look, it's not for everybody, is it? Beating Saudi Arabia at World Cups.
Geez, they're not far off. 89th minute now. And they're holding out.
Do you know what I have to laugh at, though? You know, when Martin talks about Roy, even though, like, we can't see each other on this. You could just hear the fucking smile on his face, can't you? Just sits there with a big glow. Look, probably looking at his life-sized fucking mannequin of Roy Keane. Cracking one out.
Once your hands are on the desk, Martin, we don't really mind, really. It is a kid show.
That's why the camera's off. That's why normally Martin has the camera on. That's why it's off.
I do love Roy, as you know, and I would say I would not. I'm going to say something now. I would not rule out Roy Keane ever being involved with the Republic of Ireland again.
Christ,
he's gone delusional again, Dave.
Oh Jesus,
it's happened again.
I'm telling you, Jesus, that performance the other night. Bring it back to that. That wouldn't happen under him.
Dave, get the straitjacket ready.
They wouldn't be that flat. I'm telling you.
Because he's such a brilliant record as manager, isn't he, Roy? Like, he did wonders at Ipswich, didn't he? And, unfortunately, he wouldn't be able to buy anybody, Martin. That's the problem. He wouldn't be able to get the old checkbook out like he did at Sunderland and start buying loads of players. So I don't know about that. I don't understand. That obviously was a bit of a you know, the comments that you hear about, well, you know, it's Infantano or Stat. What's his fucking name, the FIFA guy?
Oh, Infantano.
Infantano, yeah.
That's FIFA, did you ever watch the FIFA documentary, lads? I'm sure lots of listeners have.
No. I will do, but...
I mean, I didn't learn anything new because I knew that they were, oh, Argentina, oh, cleared off the line the last minute. Sorry, I've Argentina here on in the background, and Saudi Arabia have literally just cleared it off the line the last minute, but I think is it a penalty? I don't know. But sorry, coming back to it. So, yeah, nothing new. I mean, we know FIFA are crooked. We know that they're dodgy bastards and the whole lot, but they're just so tacky. They're all so tacky. Just even the language they use, the way they speak, they're just a bunch of tacky bastards and shameless as well. I mean, when Infantino was like, today, I'm gay. You know, like, come on, man. You know,
I have to say, though, like, I think that argument is so stupid. The terms of, oh, we need to apologize to these guys for 300 years. Probably, I don't know, going back to probably talking about the Crusades and this sort of stuff and this, you know, the historical...
War. I knew you'd bring war into it.
Well, no, I mean, that's what he's on about. God, you got Roy in, so I get my little bit of my little wank bank in as well. No, he's just like, I think that argument's poor. I know Soonest mentioned it as well. Well, you know, Britain did this and that. And I was like, oh, yeah, but lads, that was back in the day. This is 2022. This is still going on in 2022. Just because a country did something hundreds of thousands of years ago doesn't mean it's okay to do it now. I think that's a very, very, very poor argument. But I did like
it. It is. But from Irish corners, you know, and a lot of listeners will be like, oh, fuck you, what are you saying? But no, it's a completely different context. You know, you can talk about colonialism and all that kind of thing. It's completely different, you know, like that's, you know, it's contextual, isn't it? It's contextual. And I mean, you can talk about, you know, ancient wars and you can compare it to Qatar, but this is 2022. Exactly. You know, it's modern civilization, civilized civilization, you would hope, and you know, they're falling behind in so many ways.
I did
they're
like
lagging years behind.
I did like what Roy said, though. I must agree here. So it came up on my Twitter. I think it wasn't today, it was the other day. And he was going on about the captains, Bale and Kane, and the other team captains refusing to wear the armband, the one love thing, because, you know, they might get booked. You know, they were giving it the large one for so many weeks. Then they've just, like, gone crawling back down because FIFA have obviously threatened to book any players. So, you know, he wear the armband, which, to be honest, I think would have sent out a more powerful message. And Roy turned around and said, you know, take your medicine, do it for the first one, and then leave it at that. That would have given a great example. I thought, I have to be honest now, I don't agree with a lot of what Roy Keane says, but I have to say he got that spot on.
He's been the highlight of the World Cup so far, apart from, what are we, 3 minutes into injury time here? Saudi Arabia could actually beat Argentina. So far, Roy Keane has been the highlight, for me anyway. He's the gift that keeps on giving. And he's well able for Soonest is a fucking spoof. Most of them are spoofers, but he's well able. He's well able. And, you know, every kind of comment, even like, did you see the offside, lads? Sorry, not the offside, the penalty that was given for Argentina. And, you know, I was watching on RTE because my buddy Kenny Cunningham, in case I haven't mentioned, I haven't mentioned that in a while, so I better get it in there. And Kevin Doyle, like straight away, they were like, no, it's not a penalty. He's dragged his arm in and dragged him down. And Keane just schools Soonest. Like Soonest is like, no, it's a penalty. It's not about your opinion. And so far, Roy Keane has been the highlight of the World Cup. Ironically, he wouldn't go to a World Cup, but he's been the highlight of the World Cup so far.
Have that, you bollocks, man.
And on a separate note, if Argentina actually lose to Saudi Arabia here, look, at least we could beat them, couldn't we?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and again, another highlight for me, though, is the I did see a fantastic tweet. It was from after the England game yesterday. The last player to have played for, was it Ireland under 21s to have scored in the World Cup? Jack Grealish.
Let's not go there, Martin. Let's not go. So far, one of the worst things about this World Cup, so you Grealish and Rice playing. You've Ethan Ampadu, whose dad is from Dublin, playing yesterday. Well. The apparently the USA manager, Bert Lauer or something, apparently he's an Irish passport, which is just a little random fact.
Yep. We're there.
We're there.
We are there. We're well represented. We've got Noel Mooney there. We love dropping Noel into the podcast. And also, it was someone else I just thought of there as well. and now it's gone out of my mind.
Probably Roy Keane. It's great because we're there, but we're boycotting it at the same time by not being there, by not playing. It's great.
It's the Irish diaspora, isn't it? We're everywhere and in all different facets. It kind of, the FAI kind of sums up Ireland as a country, doesn't it? We're there with so many different, we're there in so many different facets all around the world, companies, you know, different things in different countries. And, you know, the World Cup is sort of crescendo there. Right, lads, we're going to move it on from the World Cup. We're going to go a little bit more domestically. Now, we're going to talk a little bit, obviously, about the Kenny situation. I've noticed at halftime, I don't know if you heard it on the TV, but when the halftime whistle went at 0-0, Christ, it sounded like Jimmy McGee. When it went at 0-0, halftime whistle goes, there was a smattering of boos coming from the fans. Not a lot. Most of them were singing. Probably about 80, 90% of them were singing, you know, one Stephen Kenny and all that. We've noticed, lads, as well, I wrote a little piece on Louth the Road. I was literally standing at the boarding gate, and I wrote from the heart and just, you know, kind of voicing the opinion that we all share, that this is a wasted opportunity. You know, Mick in 96 brought a young team to the US Cup to experiment because he knew what he had the senior players, which Roy Keane fucked off from. Just thought I'd get that in there. Then he did it again in 2000. To expand that pool. I was like, why didn't Kenny do something like that? I think I wrote it on the Facebook page. I think about 98% of fans there agreed with that assessment. And that's obviously what we've got. But it's very evident now, isn't it? And Dan McDonald wrote, my new pal Dan, he wrote in his article, I caught a bit of it because it was on premium and I'm not paying for it. Sorry, Dan. But, you know, last year, you were there, Martin. They were banging on the windows of the press box when we beat Luxembourg 3-0. Today, you know, well, a couple of days ago, my God, it does feel like we've gone back to square one, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. Sorry, I'll come in now first on that, Nick, if you don't mind. But
it's okay. Just before you do, Martin, like the Saudis are 30 seconds away from beating Argentina.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's amazing, isn't it? That happens. And that's not what people want as well, where they're corrupt. They won't want that. Somewhere that, 30 seconds. I think they can do it, Nick. They can turn that around in 20 seconds now. Yeah. Messi will probably be let get two or something.
Yeah.
Like back in Luxembourg, I think of the high we were leaving in November last year, and it was incredibly kind of jovial, fantastic sing song afterwards, players posing with the fans, photos in their warm down. Ironically, Jamie McGrath was there that night. He hadn't even played. And I remember having a chat with him after the game. Absolutely flying. He didn't even really play that night. So it was just a such a contrast. And, you know, it is worrying now. I think a lot of the hardcore fans who go home and away are starting to turn. That's the vibe I'm getting from different kind of chat groups I'm in, you know, forums, sometimes reading posts you're seeing on Facebook, on the Lansdowne Road page and our own social media interaction. It's just gone very, very flat, like the team were the other night. And I think the kind of, it's starting to turn. And I think the FAI, I know I mentioned to you, I think they need to do something PR-wise on this quite cleverly, because I think he has to be more accountable for some of these decisions and why he didn't, Stephen Kenny, why he didn't make those changes and why he brought young players into the squad and never gave them an opportunity. I'm sure they're going to be quite pissed off as well, the likes of Cousin William and Liam Scales, for example. You know, we had some young players in there. Even Travers could feel aggrieved that he hadn't been given a chance. And I think there's just so many unanswered questions for me in that squad. Like Robbie Brady, you know, people are saying we have no creativity, but yeah, I think that's actually the role for Robbie Brady. And, you know, where he's name-checked him in the past as, oh, we're brilliant to have him back and he gives us that. Well, he's got to use him in them games then sometimes, or Wilt Smallbone. You know, he's got to be a bit more creative. And I think it's just very flat. And it's becoming a hard watch going away now, watching Ireland, because we used to go away and watch the games and hope for like a 1-0 against France or whatever. But now we're going away and we're not even having we're not playing very well even. It's not even as entertaining when we're supposed to be playing this expansive football. It was just so flat and deep, and it didn't need to be that. And I think the hardcore fans are starting to turn now, and I'd like to hear from Kenny to give a kind of some reasoning for it. I don't think he'll do it, but I think that's what he needs to do, because I think it will turn very, very quickly in March with that friendly in the France game.
I think as well, like Nick, you know, Martin mentioned Robbie Brady. Okay, we know Robbie Brady's a left back. That's how Martin, Kenny wants to play him. But yeah, why not in a game like Malta? Just say, well, do you know what? Actually, Robbie, let's see what you do behind the front two, or you know, like just experiment.
Well, like the thing is, we kind of said the other day, like we were giving out that he was playing all the senior lads, and he was playing McLean, and that, you know, Hendrick came on, and that he was playing maybe John Egan instead of Liam Scales, and all these lads. You know, we're basically giving out that he was playing the senior lads, the tried and trusted. But the thing with Robbie Brady, and I think the exception with Robbie Brady, he's coming back into the international fold after so long out, and even though he's 30. Players play a lot longer. You know, look at James McLean, you know, 33, looks like he can play for another few years. You know, so Brady, like Houlihan only started playing for Ireland when he was 31. So these kind of creative players who can play that bit deeper, they can prolong their career. So he should have come in. Yeah, absolutely. It's a great point, Dave. He could have played him in midfield. I'm like watching the World Cup even the last couple of days. I mean, I've gotten so kind of used to just watching Ireland, and you forget how technical the international players are. And we're still kind of in that mindset, and we have been for so long, I think since Mick McCarthy in 2002, that we're picking the graft over the technical ability. And the thing, the reality with international football is sometimes you do have to sacrifice that little bit of graft with technically good players who can put their foot in the ball, who can create. You know, like I was watching England yesterday, and obviously England are, you know, we're not even comparable to England. And we won't be for a long, long time. But it was all technical players. There was no grafters. Declan Rice, possibly the only grafter in there. But the rest of them were all technical players who could put their foot in the ball and create. I think just in the broader point, though, never mind the game the other night, and in terms of the kind of Kenny situation, I don't think Kenny's a bad manager. But I think it showed that when he had a decent kind of backroom team behind him, he was able to manage, and they were able to do the nitty-gritty coaching. Anthony Barry is a massive, massive loss. John Eustace is doing a decent job at Birmingham City. I think he probably could have come in and done a decent job as well. Keith Andrews, I think he's losing. Like, we're not on the training pitch. And it was the same situation with Robbie Keane when we were kind of criticizing him when he was there under Mick. But we're not on the training pitch. But we're seeing absolutely no evidence of anything different. Like, people will say, and sorry, I know I'm going on, but I think it's important just to get across. Mm-hmm. People are saying, well, we pass it around a lot better. I mean, we're passing it around without purpose. And yes, under Trapattoni and O'Neill, we were lumping it. There was very little structure. It was very hard to watch. But we're passing around for the sake of passing around with no end product. And this is what international teams did years ago. Like, there's nothing revolutionary Kenny has done here. I think as a manager, I think as overseeing the team, selecting the team, all that kind of thing, that's the one thing I would have given him. For the last year, when everyone was available, I believe that Stephen Kenny was picking the best available squad. That's something that Martin O'Neill didn't do, and that's something that Giovanni Trapattoni didn't do. He was picking the best squad, and he was blooding players, where the last two regimes, lads were getting their first caps in their late 20s. Kenny was capping lads really young, and I think we're going to bear the fruits of that. I look at the Welsh last night, the amount of lads that came in as teenagers, and now they're at a World Cup after two successive Euros. So I think as a manager, Kenny's done fine, but I think the big mistake was the backroom team, and it is showing Kenny up when he's isolated from a quality backroom team that he's just not quite at that level or of that experience.
I think as a manager,
Davey Raby just won, by the way.
Oh wow.
Way. Yeah. I think as a manager, I think there's a major failing from Stephen Kenny as a manager, to be honest with you. See, the thing is, right, is that how can you go with the same players who almost threw away a 2-0 lead against Armenia in the way they did? The likes of Hendrick. Harahan probably would have been in the squad if it wasn't for the fact that Derby wouldn't release him. How is he seeing that? How is he seeing that these are the boys for me. They never let me down. They've let him down constantly. How can you not see this?
It's the same as O'Neill and Trapattoni, an over-reliance on favourites. I think these lads train well, and I think it's a huge thing with managers that if a player trains well, they think they're going to translate it. But he's becoming really over-reliant on lads who just aren't doing it. And like, you know, we look at the likes of the consistent performers, the likes of, say, the John Egan, Josh Cullen, these lads, you know, they're always going to give it. But the other lads are hugely inconsistent.
How can he not turn around though and look at the state of Matt Doherty? There's a lot of failings here from I think Matt, from a management point of view and analysis point of view, from Steve McKenny and his backroom staff, there's a massive, massive failing here. You look at someone like Matt Doherty and you go, okay, First of all, the squad. Why are you picking a squad? These lads don't want to get injured. Pick young, hungry players that are going to show you what it's about, what they're about. Also, you're going to expand your own pool of players, okay? Because you've got a qualifying campaign coming up. A load of them now won't be available for the under-21s because of age and other things. So it's time for them to move on and bring them into the squad and force out some of the lads in their early 30s, like Harahan, like Hendrick, right? So how he hasn't seen that, I don't know. How he can turn around after the 2-0, losing a 2-0 lead against Armenia, think, oh yeah, these are the boys for me. They never let me down. They constantly, constantly let them down. We're talking about the same players here. How can he go without doubt it as a left-back, right, which wasn't working. Now, he was one of the better players on the pitch, but that doesn't mean it was working. It wasn't working. He was passing it back all the time. You're trying to press on with wingers. So you have a left wing back playing at Swansea City every week, Ryan Manning. Why isn't he getting a go? You know, why aren't you playing an actual left wing back? He's playing as a left wing back week in, week out in a championship and selecting a makeshift left back when you actually have one.
But the thing is, Dave, and it's the point I made earlier, he's picked the best available squad and the inform. There's been no complaints about his last few squads, and now that's starting to creep in, and he can't afford for that to creep in. Like I said, the massive plus with Kenny, and something that we should have been doing for years and years and years, is he's capping lads, you know, probably before they should be capped. The likes of Parrott, the likes of Ida have come in, you know, Alma Bamadeli, where now that's drying up, because even though they're not playing, and we keep making this point, our player pool is so thin that we are going to have to start dipping into lads who maybe aren't starting every week for their clubs, the likes of Conor Coventry, the likes of Conor Ronan. But there would have been nothing to lose by capping them, and that's a huge mistake.
Exactly, and that's what I can't get over. Like, why isn't somebody from, you know, is that a conversation he has with the backroom staff? I'm sure it must be. I mean, what have we learned? We've learned absolutely nothing positive from this, and I think, I can't get over it. I think that's what people have a massive issue with.
Yeah, it's not even the results. It's the nature of how the friendlies were used.
It's just how they were used. There's no point. You're going to just annoy players. You've got Will Smallbone. You never know like what can happen in a couple of years. He could get a call up to England if he has a good season with Stoke. Maybe has a good season or two in the Premier League. All of a sudden, England come knocking and then we've lost this guy because we've messed him about. I have to say, and he's coming out and he was talking about Norway and he was on about the Norway game after the Malta game.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but you were playing Norway's second, third string team. They didn't even have their best player on the pitch. And it was so bland and boring. I don't get it, lads. I think he's starting to lose a little. I think he's starting to lose focus.
The big issue, and sorry, I know I'm dominating a little bit here. You know I like to be dominant, Martin, don't you? Oi, oi.
Yeah.
But you probably like that day. But I think the thing is, everyone was behind Kenny, but we've had three really bad windows. And I think he's gotten away with it so far that the Scotland match masked a huge amount of things. And Scotland were shocking that day. And Scotland actually should have been about 2-3-0 up before we scored the first one. And we ended each window well. We start the windows badly. Lost Armenia, and then we draw away in Łódź. Like that, Dave. We draw away in Łódź against Ukraine's B team, and everyone thinks it's hunky dory. In the last one, you know, if we lose to Armenia, we're fucked. We beat them really bad, really uncomprehensively, but we still beat them with the last minute winner. And then, you know, it makes the gap between then and now a little bit easier. We've beaten Malta, but as I said, it's nothing to do with the results, it's the nature of it. So we've had three really, really poor windows. And I think it's no coincidence that is since Anthony Barry left. March wasn't the worst. You know, the Lithuania game was shocking. Really, really bad. We drew against a Belgium team who were completely experimenting. So it's becoming consistently bad. Like, I think the momentum we had with Kenny and what kind of brought things back for him were results against much lower ranked teams that we should be putting away. You know, the likes of Azerbaijan, the likes of Luxembourg. We were celebrating them like we won the World Cup. Mm. When in reality, that Qatar team that played the other night, that were so poor against Ecuador, they beat both of those teams. And we hammered Qatar. So we were doing things that should have been expected. We haven't hit that low in ebb that we shouldn't be expecting those things. So the fact that it's three bad windows in a row, I think, is very telling.
I think he stifled his own progress. That's what I think has happened. I expected the World Cup to not start off so great and then towards the end come on strong, which I thought we would do. And then he went with the game in Azerbaijan. Sorry, the game in Armenia, which was so poor. Hendrick, Coleman, they were all terrible, these senior lads. and you think, okay, you need to change it. Doesn't change it. I think he made substitutions late 60s, early 70s again. You're thinking, okay, so game management's been poor, has been poor all throughout his tenure. Then it's Ukraine at home, and it was Ukraine's B team. It was dreadful. He had a two-man midfield with Cullen and Hendrick. I was watching it. I thought, my God, how can you not see how bad this is? This is bad. Take him off. Change it up, for fuck's sakes. Doesn't do it. And we lose 1-0. And then Scotland puts the three-man midfield, the Holy Trinity, I call it, Cullen, the engine room, Cullen, Knight, Malumbi. Okay, we got away with a couple of things there, but that's football sometimes, you know? You dominate a bit, all of a sudden you're 2-0 down because of two mistakes and you're battered. Or sometimes it goes the other way. And it went for us. I thought, great. And we did the same in Ukraine. Probably should have won that, but you think, all right, bit of momentum. And then Scotland away, that could have gone anyway. Picked the Holy Trinity again in midfield. Fantastic. Cullen goes out injured. Armenia home. Hendricks in. The whole thing goes to shit. He's so lethargic. He's so pedestrian in the midfield. You cannot play that style of football. This team can play that style of football. I don't want to hear people say we don't have the players. We have the players. We can play that football. You can play at international level, right, with maybe lesser players, you know, in inverted commas or whatever. But you can drill them into a team and you can beat anybody if you got your shit together and you have your tactics down, okay?
We're too predictable now, though.
Well, we have an 11 that can do that, and probably the defence is a little bit shaky at times, but it's a young defence, so you reckon that will grow with time, okay? What he needs is replacements and reinforcements for the engine room, okay? That's what he needs. Hendrick, Harahan are not up to it. Brown is a good substitution. He has a good team there. That is a good team that can play football. But, yeah, you know, and we'll move it on because we got other stuff to talk about. But he really, really missed the boat in this one. He should have expanded his pool. Let's see what Smallbone can do. Let's see what the likes of Scales can do. Manning as well. It was complete waste, and I think he's actually pissed all over himself, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. And everybody now is starting to turn on him a little bit. We want to see an upturn fortune. We don't want to see this guy out of a job. We want to see him do well. You know, we've been his biggest champions, but we have to call what we see, lads. And it's not good at the moment. And it's not good. And we beat Malta with our first shot in the 54th minute, our first shot, and it was a gift from a centre back.
Yeah.
That is not good enough.
There's people kind of saying, look, oh, how are people turning on Kenny so quickly and all this kind of thing? It's been a progression thing. Like in June, we were like, oh shit, this is a bit of a blip, but look, we have a bit of momentum. In September, it was kind of similar. We were like, oh shit, it's a bit of a blip. But now it's becoming kind of the norm after, you know, like if you think about it, when everyone's singing Stephen Kenny's name and all this kind of thing, like I'm seeing things online, people saying, oh, you need to get behind the manager. You know, this is the right thing. Of course, questions are going to be asked. And as I said, it could be something as simple as just getting in a really competent assistant who can do the nitty gritty, maybe improving the scouting system because, you know, with Ryan Manning not being in there, simple things like that. Like it's a really small thing, but it's a simple thing. That's a bigger picture. But football changes really quickly, doesn't it? I mean, look at the likes of Thomas Tuchel. Where with Kenny, yes, we were very pro Kenny, but I think it's now becoming a consistent worry, and we're seeing the same mistakes over and over again. He's not learning from them, so I think it's a fair place to be. And I don't know I think we're stuck with him for the next year. I think financially and practically they won't do anything, and look, that's just what it is. But I think we are very, very right to be very, very concerned at the moment. And as I said, people will say we don't have the players. I think we have a fairly decent depth of players, you know, compared to other nations.
Yeah,
look at the North, look at some other countries around our level. Like we're not too bad. We didn't exactly get thumped by Norway the other night. We haven't exactly been thumped by anyone in the last little while. But it's small little things and consistent mistakes that Kenny's making that are, you know, shooting red flags at front and center.
Yeah. Okay. We'll move it on a little bit there. Well, still Ireland related, actually. He has announced, well, it hasn't been announced, but Martin, you shared this in the group. The Irish Daily Mirror's Mark McCadden has reported that apparently we've got Latvia lined up. We spoke about it on the live show, didn't we? We said that there had to be a slot there for a friendly game because we only had the one in March against France at home, our World Cup, our European Championship qualifier opener. This is what he had to say in it. Stephen Kenny wasn't giving much away. It's not confirmed, but you know, there's no smoke without fire. He said, "I'm not sure there's loads of teams available because there are qualifiers on that week. The international department is working on it, and I don't have a preference. We probably won't put our first team in that friendly. We'll mix and match to get ready for France. France will be a special night in everyone's life. It's a great chance against the previous World Cup winners, I presume that is. A big challenge, so we have to do the best we can. Not going to put a lot of butts in seats, to quote a very famous wrestling commentator. Sorry, lads. Right, don't know why I said that, but yeah, that's not really going to. I mean, we'll still be there. I'll still be going to it, but
it's not the most intriguing kind of fixture, is it? But these teams are around our level. Let's just cut to the chase on that. And you know, Kevin Doyle said it the other night. We are the minnows now. Basically, that's what we're viewed as around Europe with our kind of horrendous results. And it's been interesting there listening away to you both. Kind of, I did take a little bit of a sit back and listen there, because it isn't good listening, is it? To be honest, it not our show, of course, but no, it's just where we are position wise. It's just a bit of a downer going into the end of the year, and that's where, you know, we've got thinking of commercial minded a little bit with this. You know, the sales of the season tickets are happening now. If we've come off the back as we did Luxembourg last year with a win going into this, I know we did against Malta, technically, you know, it was a win, but it was an atrocious performance. But there's a bounce into that next qualifier, isn't there? And we're not really having that now. It's so flat. And I think that will impact ticket sales. And when you're then saying, oh, well, what's the fixtures that are covered in the season ticket? And you're hearing first up, we'll have Latvia, you know, and you're hearing the manager talk about it in that kind of tone. It's not the most fascinating. And you know, you're not dying to get a ticket for it, are you? So, yeah, that's where we are now. I mean, I've seen some other kind of chat this week on with the FAI. I mean, I know they get together as a board when they're up, obviously together at the home fixtures, a lot of meetings and stuff. I was in contact with Paddy Bonner or something, and he told me he was in meetings and things, and I've seen him now been referenced and quoted in a good independent piece there, where talking about the sponsorship thing, because we still haven't got a sponsor even 6 months after, you know, the speculation that we would have. We've still got the kit to do. It's such a mess in the background, we can't forget that, but the focus has to be on the football pitch. And back to the football, my concern with Kenny, in a way, is that he's not learning quick enough. And the excuses before were all COVID and we're behind closed doors. And now we're actually seeing these performances are just hit and miss and stuff. And it's very, very worrying for me. But I think what's keeping him in the job, as I said the other night after the game, is the fact there's no real replacement out there readily available for him. So that's going to be you know, it's not as if anyone's, you know, throwing up trees anywhere else, like I said the other night, Damien Duff. Robbie Keane's not an influential coach in the Championship doing anything, and you're seeing, is he going to get the call for Ireland? You've got no one out there who can fit the bill.
Can I just ask, lads, just while we're on it, and we might as well throw this out, sure, fuck it, why not? Who would you have in?
I haven't even... I'm struggling to think, honestly. I just couldn't... I don't know where they're going to go.
I think if... the people asked for Chris Hughton. First of all, we couldn't afford Sam Allardyce or Sean Dyche or whatever. No. But that sort of manager, oh, we need to get results. No. It has to be a balance. This has to be a project. This is a project. We have a very exciting crop of young players come up here. We need to give those lads the respect they deserve. I don't want a... And Chris Hughton... I love the guy. He's a gentleman. We speak very highly of him here, right? Rightfully so. Trailblazer, okay? But let's be honest. He would be a bit of a foreign coach because he spent so much time in England. So what I mean by that is they would come in and it's like Martin O'Neill, born in Ireland, but came in like a foreign coach, like Trapattoni, looked down on us a little bit. I know it'll be a case of, oh, well, you know, I've come all the way over here to, you know, you should look up to me. You should, you know, I'm not going to listen to your opinions, that sort of stuff. Trapp is very arrogant. So is O'Neill, let's be honest. I don't want someone like that. I want someone that's going to come over here, knows the landscape, who knows and appreciates the talent we have. We do have the players. I'm not going to listen to someone say that we don't have the players. We have the players. It's a bit raw at the moment, but there's such a young, talented group of players there. And there's another young, talented group of players coming through. They're not world beaters yet. They're far from it. But I don't want someone coming in here who's going to, well, you know, because we don't have the players, we have to play 10 men behind the ball and all this shit. There's no point in doing that. That is bankrupt philosophy. We've seen it with Trapp. Yeah, we got to the Euros 2012. It was a shit show. We got to the Euros with Martin O'Neill. Okay, I've gone through that as well. You know, he was very lucky with that. And we didn't do any. Okay, we beat beat Italy, but that was Italy's third team. Let's be honest with you. It was a great night, but that was Italy's third team. We have to look at it. You know, there's been no progression with Irish football since then, since Mick McCarthy 2002. So I want somebody in here who's going to be progressive, who's going to actually work with the talent that he's got and nurture the talent that he's got. I don't want someone coming in here and just say, ah, fuck that. 10 men behind the ball, lads. You know, I know what I'm doing. I managed in the Premier League for X amount of years, blah, blah, blah. You lads haven't got a clue. I'm the big cheese. You're the smell, that kind of batch. I don't want that. Now, is Stephen Kenny the man to bring that forward? I really hope to God he is. I really, really hope. But if he's not, I first of all, would like to see Stephen Kenny still involved in Irish football, because if this doesn't work out, he has so much to offer Irish football.
Yeah, well, in the under 20, like, he has an additional role, doesn't he? Like, he's kind of almost like the director of football, isn't he? But at under 21 level, like, we played unbelievable football, and he was bringing so many lads in. Like, we'd so much depth as well. He was just that role really worked for him. Like, it was excellent. And, you know, that kind of developmental role could be really good for him. I don't think they're going to demote him, is the only thing. They won't demote him and they won't keep him in the association. He'd be gone altogether,
yeah,
I think.
I think that's the concern with giving him that role and that oversight, in a way, because you sack him as manager because you're not good enough at that. I was never really comfortable with that. It's a great idea. It's something that they were thinking about with Kerr and stuff, but you're kind of the master of everything then, because how can you not be classed by the association as not being good enough as the manager, but then you're given the role of, well, you're in charge of everything.
But having no international, like, he's zero international experience when they appointed him to that.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're going to get someone in, like, if you look at, say, I know it's a little bit different, but I don't know the actual name of his role, but the previous directors of football, let's say, the likes of Wim Kuvermans had worked for the Netherlands, hadn't he? He'd worked for other countries. Ruud Dokter had worked for different countries. The guy we have in now, he's no international experience, but he's brought through a really, really good Brighton youth setup. So I can't remember his name, but you need someone like
Mark,
that. You need
Mark
someone.
Callum, is it?
Yeah, someone like, I actually don't know myself, but like, I think, like, looking long term, yeah, you have to go with Lee Carsley, don't you? Because if you look at, say, Gareth Southgate, now I know he managed Middlesbrough, hadn't he? But if you look at Gareth Southgate coming through that England setup, that FA setup is the best in the world, I feel. It is. It's cutting edge in terms of finances, in terms of resources. They only employ the best of the best of the best. Similar to kind of Man City, you look at Barry Murphy, who's coaching in there. I think someone like, and Carsey was with City, wasn't he? So
yeah.
I think if you look at, I mean, people have divided opinions on Southgate, but, you know, he is a cutting edge coach. Maybe makes bad decisions, but he's come through that whole FA system just like Carsley. Carsley has that link. He's not going to command the same fee as an established manager, because he's not an established manager. He's used to working with international windows, because it's different doing, like Martin O'Neill said it, didn't he, when he was playing? He said it's so different managing it at international levels than club level. So I think someone like Carsley with Barry Murphy, I think something like that could be good. Yeah. I think there's so many young players who've been blooded. He appreciates young players. He played for Ireland. I think he's the perfect package for it. And in terms of being able to afford him, that's another factor that comes into it too.
I go there. I would actually agree with you there, Nick. It has to be a coach, not a manager, not like a sheepskin, you know, cigar in the mouth type old school English manager, that kind of deal. It has to be a coach.
It can't be like Martin O'Neill coming in again and who's doing the coaching stuff. I'll tell you who definitely be in the running. Damien Duff will definitely be in the running, without a doubt, for me.
You think?
Yeah, he will, yeah, because he's in the League of Ireland. He's done all right. He got to a cup final. And I think they'll like the fact he's come through there. He'll be able to. He's not tarnished by any former regime. He stepped back, didn't he, from it? He's been involved in the underage structure. I think he's a name as well. They'll love that. He's a progressive coach as well. The stuff I've seen, I think he's definitely going to be in the running for it, because I think that,
very
that's
highly
just
rated
how it
works. Celtic, wasn't he?
The generation of managers, if you look back at it, of those players, look at the people who he played against in his club career and things. They're all in management now. So, you know, like to Carrick, even Giggs and things like that. All right, we won't mention Giggs.
Lampard.
Lampard
and Lazio.
Yeah, Lampard. That's the generation of coach you're looking at. So who qualifies out of the Irish pool of that? Richard Dunn says he doesn't want to do anything like that. You know, there's very few coaches, Irish lads, doing it. But Paul McShane will be another one who will be up and coming. Another one I would not rule out completely. John O'Shea will be involved in the future of Irish football. He is at the under-21s at the moment. So, again, a name. He's going to be respected. I think that's the problem with where we are at the moment, maybe money-wise, commercial-wise, of, you know, he's not a massive name, Stephen Kenny, still. You know, people going, who, kind of thing. You know, around the world, they probably were. Known to Irish football. We've got to get the structure right in Irish football, of course. But the senior guy, Damien Duff, will be well respected. Champions League, so will John O'Shea. They will be, if they can progress in their coaching careers and do well as coaches with their respective clubs and managers in time, they will definitely be involved in Irish football. And that's the thing I think Robbie Keane's probably missed a trick on, because he's not gone out there and got his name out there in that capacity enough. Now, whether he's not got the appetite for that or not, you wouldn't know. But I mean, he'll be at that World Cup when he is an ambassador, I'm sure, or he's floating around with UEFA on the payroll there. So he's not looking for it. But Damien Duff, fair play. I actually have respect for the fact he went back, left Ireland in a way, went to Shelburne. He's done very well with them. You know, he is looking. That's his kind of life now. He wants to go into coaching and he will be aiming for the top job ultimately. He's definitely going to come in the reckoning.
Yeah, actually, we're going to wrap it up there, lads. But to be honest with you, I actually agree with both of those. I think they're both very good suggestions. Carsley, obviously, English, he could bring a lot to the FAI, a lot of valuable, very valuable information, you know, from what he's learning from the FA. And we have to learn. We have to learn from our counterparts. And I think Duff as well, he has a stomach for it, doesn't he? He's shown he has a stomach and a graft. But we need somebody who the FAI, first of all, has to come from the top. The FAI have to turn around and say, right, we want a manager, but this is what you need to do. This is what you have to implement. I don't want Tememi Hannibal lashing it up into corners. I want this style of football. We have to be playing the same style of football all across our youth levels. I want a conveyor belt of talent coming in. That is your role. That is your mission. And that's what we need. I think Duff would be good. As long as Duff implemented that style of football, I don't know the style of football Shelburne play, I'd imagine, because he's not dealing with a huge amount there. I'd imagine it's very it wouldn't be very technical, it'd be very sort of do what you
functional,
can
functional
stuff. Yeah,
but look how highly rated he was at Celtic.
I'd imagine if he had to implement a good passing style, he could, because he, you know, but he seems to put the roll the sleeves up. Robbie Keane is an absolute no-go for me. Lovely fella, legend for Ireland, but I think the problem was he kind of went in there thinking, I'm a legend, so you should give me the role, you know.
Well, he asked for the job, didn't he?
Yeah, for the job. I mean, that's not how you do it. I mean, Delaney would have given it to him from what I've read. But no, we need somebody who's willing to put the work in. Carsley, Duff, definitely. Big enough name to get into certain places, to talk players through, that kind of thing. But lads, listen, we're going to leave it there.
I was just going to come in there, David. I did just message in the group. The FAI have actually just emailed now. Not breaking news, but no, just this on the international awards, the 32nd FAI international awards. So some of these have been announced already, but they've given a special merit award to Dr. Alan Byrne, who's obviously kind of part retired, but he's still in there as a kind of consultant, I think, with the FAI, a medical director, I think he is now. But yeah, he got a special merit award. He's done a great job over the years. He's very familiar to many of us on our travels and stuff, and seeing him with the Ireland team. And I would recommend anyone do go back to listen to the story of when Shane Duffy got the injury that time, which was, you know, basically could have cost him his life. And the role Alan Byrne played in that was incredible. It was a really good kind of thing to listen to. But yeah, just on to the awards, basically Senior Men's International Player of the Year, Josh Cullen. Young International Player of the Year, Gavin Bazunu. Katie McCabe won the Women's International Goal of the Year. Who do you think?
Alan Brown, probably.
Alan Brown against Norway.
It was Troy Parrott. That's the volley, isn't it? Lithuania. Under 21 player was Connor Coventry. And under 19s, we'll have to focus a little bit on him, Nick. I'll get you to do some research. But the under 19s men's international player of the year was Boson Lawal. And he was someone
Celtic,
who was chatting to someone about him, a scout the other night about him. And he was telling me this lad is definitely going to be flying up the ranks of the FAI. So, yeah, he's one to definitely keep an eye on. But yeah, they're the awards that we'll obviously share and on our media platforms with that.
Super stuff. Thank you very much for that, lads. We're going to leave it there. Tell us what you think in the comments. If you haven't already, give us a follow on our Green Machine Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You've also got the Lansdowne Road Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And also this episode and many Other episodes actually are available on thegreenmachinepodcast.com. Lads, thank you very much. Good night, or good afternoon, really. And God bless.